This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Baruch Mabam, thank you for hosting me, bringing me back. It's been a little bit of a while. On the Simchas Torah, we have two very important aliyahs. We have the aliyah of Chasan Torah and the aliyah of Chasan Bereishis. These are very expensive commodities in many Batei Knesios, and in many shuls, it's the main source of income for the year. Chasan Torah, Chasan Bereishis. And if you're paying attention, there's a little bit of a nuance of difference between the language that's used to call up the Chasan Torah and the language that's used to call up the Chasan Bereishis. To call up the Chasan Torah, we say, Amoid, Amoid, Amoid. Rise up, rise up, rise up. We call up the Chasan Torah. But when it comes to calling up the Chasan Bereishis, we say, Maher, Amoid, Amoid. We say, quickly, quickly. There's a big rush. So for some reason, when it comes to Chasan Bereishis, there's a very big rush to get the Chasan Bereishis up there. And the Stipler explains there is a very big rush. Because as soon as you finish a Sefer, there's a great danger. There's a danger of the Kitrug of the Satan. The Satan's going to say, okay, they finished the Torah, but they're not starting again. There's a lull in the action, there's a lapse in the action. And it's always important never to be finished. We recognize, we understand, it's never good to be finished. You always have to be beginning. The Panovitcher Rav was once asked, why is it, just as he was about to finish building one yeshiva, he always started building the next yeshiva? And the Panovitcher Rav said, very simple. Every day they give a din mecheshvan in Shemayim. Every day they look at my account. And I'm afraid if they ever say that I'm done with something, the Malacha might say, okay, now's a good time to take him. So it's never good to be done. It's always good to be beginning. And therefore, when we call up the Chasan Torah, we call him up, Amoid, Amoid, Amoid. But when we call up Chasan Bereishis, we're in a hurry. We can never be finished. We always have to be starting again. In fact, very interestingly, I just saw, we know that's why we lay in the Haftarah on Simchas Torah of Sefer Yehoshua, so it should not seem like we're finishing the Torah and we're not starting Nevi'im, so we start the Nevi'im as well. And that's the reason why davening ends with Adonai Olam. Why does davening end with them? Lest the Malachim look down from Shemayim and they say, Ribbono Shel Olam, okay, he's finished Shachris. Get him! Now's a good time. There's a lull in the action. So as soon as Shachris is over, we start again, Adonai Olam. That's the reason why davening ends with Adonai Olam. So we begin Bereishis. Very interesting. Reb Chaim Falaji, the great Rav of Izmir, writes that the beginning of the year starts the day after Sukkot. That the 12 days after Sukkot start the beginning of the year, which is rather strange. You would think we're already a month into the year. Why would the year begin right after Sukkot? So Chaim Falaji says, because that's when the year starts. Chaf Dalet Tishrei is the first day of the year. And the first 12 days beginning Chaf Dalet Tishrei correspond to each month of the year. So we're still, so to speak, holding in the beginning of the year. And I believe the reason for this is because when we read Parshas Bereishis, not only are we recalling what happened in the past, but it's, so to speak, a reenactment of the creation of the world, and therefore it's a very new beginning. And we need to approach the Torah in the following way. Does anybody know? How many Perushim are there on the Torah? There are a lot. There's Pardes, Pshat, Remez, Drush, and Soid. And then there's an idea of Shivim Panim La Torah. There's 70 commentaries on the Torah. However, the Chafetz Chaim writes, there are 600,000 Perushim on every Pasuk in the Chumash. 600,000 Perushim, and each Perush emanates from a different neshama of Klal Yisrael. So you read the Torah, you say, how could there be 600,000 Perushim on every Pasuk in Chumash? You have to understand, what this document is. You know, if you were to travel to the moon at the speed of light, at 186,000 miles per second, you'd get there in a couple of minutes. However, if you would want to get to the nearest star, it could take 500 years traveling at 168,000 miles per second to get to the nearest star. You know, we look at the sun. We think the sun is it's a source of great power, a source of great energy. The sun is basically nothing. The sun is like a flashlight compared to the sources of energy that there are in the orbs of the sky. The sun is only one of billions of light sources in our galaxy, and our galaxy is only one of billions of galaxies, which is impossible to fathom. Which means the sun compared, in other words, if you were to take one grain of sand and make an equation, what is one grain of sand compared to this entire planet? The sun is smaller than that compared to the universe. And with what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create all of space? With the Torah. That means the Torah has to contain in it unlimited, infinite power. Just in the human body alone, I know I'm not supposed to speak about science, but give me 2 minutes. In the human body alone, at any given time, there are more than 500 octillion processes that take place at any given second. That means right now, there are more than 1,000 billion processes that are needed for your survival that are taking place every single second. And what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create it with? This body, created with the words of the Torah. That means the energy that's latent in every letter of Torah is infinite, it's endless, there's 600,000 perushim, and that is why, on the words, Daroish, Darash Moshe, the word Daroish is the last word on the column, Darash is the first letter on the column, which indicates, as soon as you've ended learning Torah, you have to go right back to the beginning, Darash, you haven't even started yet. The next words are, Vihine Soiraf. Sairav stands for Shishim Riboy Partsufim. There are 600,000 ways of viewing every detail of Torah. So you start Bereishis and you open up the Chumash, and the feeling that we should have is, as the Ramban writes in his Hakdama to Chumash, he says, Aschil Lichtoiv Chidushim BePerash HaTorah. I will begin to write Chidushim on the Torah BeEima. Beyira, Bereses, Bezea, Bemoira. You think about the fact HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the sun with these words. Think about how powerful these words are. You open up a Chumash, one should recoil in great trepidation. The Ramban writes, Belev Nidke, in a broken heart. The Nefesh Shavura, a broken spirit. Shoyal Slicha, I ask for atonement. Mevakish Mechila V'chapar. In other words, a person should be overwhelmed approaching the Torah. If somebody had the opportunity to press the button that unleashed the atom bomb, think about how the heart would palpitate when a person had that kind of power in their hands. That's the kind of spiritual koyach Hashem has invested in us with the ability to learn the Torah HaKadosha. And the Ramban writes, "V'nafshi yoidas ma'od yediyah brura." I know very clearly. She'ein beitzas hanemola keneged hagalgal ha'elyon tzira. Anybody here ever see an ant egg? No, because you can't see it. I know that an ant egg compared to the sun is greater than my wisdom is compared to the secrets that are latent in the words of the Torah. That's the attitude one should have when approaching the Torah HaKadosha. See, almost, you know, you're afraid to open up the book. And we should be. This sefer is Estakel Ba'oiraisa Ubara Alma. Nevertheless, Hashem was very kind to us. And in His infinite Rachamim, Hashem tries to draw us in to the Torah HaKadosha already, not from the first perek, not from the first pasuk, not even from the first word, from the first letter of the Torah. What is the first letter of the Torah, of course? Beis. What is the first nekuda of the Torah? Shema. Says Reb Shem Kleinberg, we know the Ribbono Shel Olam has many relationships with Klal Yisrael. He's everything to us. Every relation there is, Ribbono Shel Olam is to us. But most importantly, and I actually had the privilege to speak about this here, I believe, the last time I was here, the most important yesod in Kol HaTorah Kula is that we are Banim LaMakom. We're the children of Hashem. We are Hashem's kinderlach. That is, the Chida writes, I'll read to you his words, Haloi zeh hadavar ki kvar noida, it is known, Asher pinas yikras yesod musad la'adas Yisrael, the foundational principle of Klal Yisrael. Mi Mitzrayim yadhena, from the day we left Egypt until today, hu hayois Yisrael b'nei kelchai, that we are the children of Hashem. So right off the bat, says the Chida, Hashem wants to remind us, don't be so scared of this document. Because you have to know who it's coming from. It's coming from your father. You have to know who you are. You are banim lamakom. Here's the sign. Beis. Beis stands for, you are banim lamakom. The first nekuda is a shva. What's a shva? Not a tsere, two brothers. A shva, father and child. That is who the Torah comes from. It comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's our Tata, who's our Father. And as awesome as this document is, and as powerful as this document is, you need to get right into it. This is for you. Le'enei kol Yisrael, the Torah ends. Bereishis. For all of Klal Yisrael is this Torah that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave to us. So that's the opening message of the Torah HaKadosh. And then the Ribbono Shel Olam tells us something very important. Bereishis. I have a sefer at home. It's called Chaim Tchila, a Reb Chaim Falaji. 101 ways to connect the end of the Torah to the beginning of the Torah. In other words, to swing Le'enei Kol Yisrael back to the beginning, Bereishis Bara Elokim. It's interesting, when Reb Chaim Falaji published his sefer, he published it in small size. He published it in pocket size. And he says the reason he publishes it in pocket size is because he knows that in the month of Tishrei, people are very busy. There are many Yomim Tovim, especially between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. And people don't really have a chance to sit and spend a lot of time learning. This way, I'm giving you a pocket-sized sefer with 101 insights connecting the end of the Torah to the beginning. Anytime you have a free moment, you could whip it out. You could glean one approach to understand the connection of the end of the Torah to the beginning. So listen to what he says. If you're afraid to delve into the Torah, Bereishis, the letters Bereishis could be read Baras Shai. God created Shai, 310. What's 310? Of course, we know the last Mishnah in Shas. Osid HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lahanchil L'chol Tzadik V'Tzadik Shai Oilamais. Oilam Haba is 310 worlds. That's Oilam Haba. So the first word in the Torah is saying that there's a lot invested in this. There's a lot to gain by learning this document. Barash Shai, the Ribbono Shel Olam created 310 worlds of reward for those who learn this document. Now, why 310? There are 310 prakim in Shas. Oilam Haba goes for those who learn Torah. There are 310 prakim in Shas. Moreover, say Shas? Where is there anything about Shas in the beginning of Bereishis? The gematria, the numerical value, Bereishis bara Elokim eis hashamayim v'yeis haaretz, is equivalent to Zroim moyed nashim yeshuais kodshim taharais. Shisha sidrei mishnah. Exactly. You could do it right now. Figure. Bereishis bara Elokim eis hashamayim v'yeis haaretz is the gematria of Shisha sidrei mishnah. Now, why 310? How many mitzvahs are there? 613 mitzvahs. How many mitzvahs d'rabbanan? Seven mitzvahs d'rabbanan. So a total of 620 mitzvahs. That's why, how many letters are there in the Aseres Hadibrois? 620 letters. So Ribbono Shel Olam gives, so why does God only give 310? The answer is, you have the tzaddik, you have the tzaddikas, and they split it in half. 3:10 for the tzaddik, 3:10 for the tzaddikus. That's why Asir HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lahanchil L'chol Tzaddik V'Tzaddik Shai Olamas. That's where the 3:10 comes from. Okay, let's talk a little bit about Sefer Bereishis. The Ramban, in his introduction to Sefer Shemois, dubs Bereishis a new name. The Ramban gives Bereishis a very interesting title. The Ramban says, what are you going to call Bereishis? Sefer Hayetzira, the book of creation. And the Ramban is immediately bothered. Why would you call Bereishis the book of creation? The first perek of Bereishis talks about the creation of the world. And after that, it's all narrative. The Mabul has nothing to do with the creation of the world. The stories of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov have nothing to do with the creation of the world. Why call the entire Sefer, Sefer HaYetzirah? That's the question of the Ramban. And the Ramban then advances the most fundamental principle in Sefer Bereishis. The Ramban says that actually the entire Bereishis speaks about the creation of the history of Klal Yisrael. How's that? The Ramban advances the principle, Masei Avos, Simon Labanim. Says Ramban, all the activities of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, when Avraham went down to Mitzrayim, when Yitzchak dug the wells, when Yaakov went down to Mitzrayim, every activity that was performed by Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov created the history, the future history of the Jewish people. And therefore the Ramban says, a very interesting idea, he says that when God decrees that something should happen, it's not so simple for it to occur the way the Ribbono Shel Olam decreed. Because the Ribbono Shel Olam issues a decree from Shemayim, and that decree has to come down and trickle down from Olam HaAtzilus, Olam HaBriya, Olam HaYetzira, Olam HaAsiya, until it gets down to this physical world. There are a lot of things that could interfere with the way the Gezeira occurs. So Ribbono Shel Olam could decree, let's say, that somebody should be successful, but by the time that decree gets down here to this world, it already hit all kinds of impediments. So in order to facilitate a decree and bring it to fruition, the Ribbono Shel Olam, so to speak, needs an act to be done so that the decree should be concretized and it should materialize. And that's the concept of Masei Avos Simon Labanim. So Ribbono Shel Olam decreed that Klal Yisrael would go down to Mitzrayim for 210 years. But it ain't going to happen until somebody goes through the motion of going down to Mitzrayim, and that will cause that decree to materialize. So Avraham Avinu goes down to Mitzrayim, and that sets into motion that hundreds of years later, Klal Yisrael will go down to Mitzrayim. Or here's another example. The war with the four kings. Avraham Avinu fights the four kings. What's that all about? So Ramban says, because God decreed that ultimately we're going to go into four golosim. But what caused to materialize the decree that we would go into the four golosim? The fact that Avraham Avinu fought the four kings that brought to fruition that we would go into Dalet golosim. Remember the story when Yitzchak Avinu, he's digging the wells, he digs the first well, and the Plishtim come and they stuff up the well. And then Yitzchak digs the second well, and the Plishtim stuff up the second well. And then finally, Yitzchak digs the third well, and nobody bothers him, and that's the end of the story. And the Ramban is bothered. This is irrelevant information. Who cares about the wells that Yitzchak Avinu dug? So Ramban says, this little episode that you would think is not that significant is the forerunner, is the pre-enactment of all three Batei Mikdashim. So Yitzchak digs the first well, and the Goyim come, the Plishtim come, and they stuff it up. And what was the name of that well? Asek. There was fighting over it. That represents Beis HaMikdash HaRishon, which was destroyed. And then Yitzchak Avinu digs the second well, and the second well was stuffed up as well. And what was the name of the second well? Sitna. And that represents the fact that the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. And the third well, Yitzchak digs, nobody gives him a problem, and he calls the third well Rechayvais. In other words, says Ramban, every event that is recorded in Bereishis creates the history of the Jewish people. So the reason why Bereishis is called Sefer HaYetzirah is because Parshas Bereishis speaks about the creation of the world, and the entire Sefer then is the handbook of the creation of the history of the Jewish people. So it's a good thing you came today. because you're going to hear a novel interpretation of why this the entire Sefer Bereishis is called Sefer HaYetzirah. Not only because it speaks about the creation of the history of the Jewish people, but let's go to a Mishnah in Perkei Avos. The Mishnah says, how many generations from Noach until Avram? 10 generations. Asara doiros me Noach ad Avram. What is he called? Avraham. Next Mishnah. Asara nisyonos nisnasu Avraham Avinu. 10 tests Avram Avinu was tested with. So Chaim Volozhiner asks, why is it that when it comes to the 10 generations, it's just from Noach until Avraham, and when it comes to the 10 tests, it's Avraham Avinu. Why did he become Avraham Avinu? So Chaim Volozhiner advances a very fundamental principle. He says, why do we call Avraham Avinu? He's our great, great, great... Why was he called our father? What makes him our father? Says Reb Chaim Volozhiner, any test that Avraham Avinu overcame, it's not just a good deed that he did. By overcoming that challenge, he then programmed into the spiritual DNA, into the moral fabric of Klal Yisrael, that this is something that we're capable of accomplishing, this is something we're capable of doing. For instance, says Reb Chaim Volozhiner, Hashem tells Avraham Avinu, go to Eretz Yisrael. Says Reb Chaim, any time a Jew is able to pick themselves up, leave the galus, go to Eretz Yisrael, be'emuna, where did such a kayach come from? Who could do such a thing? That only is programmed within the spiritual DNA of a Jew, because Avraham Avinu listened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Hashem said, Lech Lecha, and now part of the fabric of Klal Yisrael is that we're able to go to Eretz Yisrael. Another thing, says Uchaim Elazar, something happens, and it seems very difficult, it seems very challenging, but what does a Yid say? Gamzu L'Toyva. How does a human being have that capacity to say, even though to my eyes it looks like something terrible, the Ribbon Shel must have a good plan? Where does that come from? When Avraham Avinu was told to go to Eretz Yisrael, he goes to Eretz Yisrael, and the first thing Avraham Avinu encounters is famine. So you can imagine, Avraham Avinu left his homeland, he traveled hundreds of miles, he gets to Eretz Yisrael, and there's nothing to eat, there's nothing to drink. Did Avraham Avinu question, was he Mahar Achar Midos of Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu? Avraham Avinu didn't say anything. He said, Gamzu L'Toyva. The capacity for a Jew to be able to say Gamzu L'Toyva, that comes from Avraham Avinu. Any test that Avraham Avinu passed, any nisayon that he overcame, he programmed into the spiritual DNA of Klal Yisrael that this is something we're able to accomplish. In fact, you know, there's a famous question by the Akedah. Who was tested at the Akedah? Vayehi acharei hadvarim ha'ela, v'ha'elokim nisa es Avram. And what, for Yitzchak it wasn't a test? Why? If anything, it was a test for Yitzchak. Avram Avinu got to go home. He got to go home for Shabbos. He got to have a Shabbos Suda. Yitzchak Savinu, he's the one whose neck is being slit. Why is the test attributed to Avraham and not to Yitzchak? If anything, if I was writing it, v'ha'elokim nisa, it's Yitzchak. And Avraham... Also, but why is it Elikim Nisa as Avraham should be Elikim Nisa as Yitzchak? Furthermore, Rabbi Chanan asks, why was it such a big test? How many thousands of Jews throughout the millennia have been Moiser Nefesh al Kiddush Hashem? Do we write a pasuk in the Chumash, Elikim Nisa as this one, as that one? Why Dafka Avraham? The answer is, according to Rabbi Chaim Elazar, we understand very simply. Once Avraham Avinu overcame the nisayon of being Moisar Nefesh by Ur Kazdim, when Avraham Avinu jumped into the fire, it's now programmed into the DNA of a Yid that they could be Moisar Nefesh HaKiddush Hashem. So we're not going to write V'aleikim Nisas Yitzchak. It wasn't such a big nisayon for Yitzchak. Yitzchak wasn't the first one who had to give up his life HaKiddush Hashem. Avraham Avinu already gave up his life HaKiddush Hashem in Ur Kazdim. But nobody was ever told that they have to sacrifice their child for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's a test that was never programmed into the DNA of Klal Yisrael. So therefore, it's Elokim Nisa es Avraham. But it wasn't a test for Yitzchak. Yitzchak already had it in his DNA because Avraham did it previously. And that's why, throughout the millennia, Jews have been able to be Moser Nefesh al Kiddush Hashem. Because once Avraham did it, it's part of the program. It's part of our essence. It's part of our reality. In fact, I once heard from a Rav from Ireland, Rabbi Isaac Bernstein. And later I found in the Sefer Masayad. Very interesting. You know, remember the Gemara in the end of Masechta Brachos? The Gemara says that Rabbi Akiva, I see you're nodding your head. Masechta Brachos, of course. Daf Samach Aleph. The Gemara says that the Romans made a decree that nobody could teach Torah publicly. And Rabbi Akiva was gathering big assemblages of Talmidim, and they took Rabbi Akiva and they began to rake his flesh. And what was Rabbi Akiva doing? Rabbi Akiva was saying Kriya Shema. And the Talmidim said, Ad Khan, even now you're thinking about the Ribbono Shel Olam? And what was Rabbi Akiva's response? My whole life, Kol Yomai, I was waiting, Mosa Yovoi Liyodi Vakaimen, I was waiting my whole life for this moment. That means Rabbi Akiva, his entire life, he was awaiting the opportunity to give up his life al Kiddush Hashem. Why was he doing that? Do we find that Rabbi Gamliel was waiting his whole life to give up his life al Kiddush Hashem? Do we find Rabbi Tarfon was waiting his whole life? Do we find any other Tana awaited their whole life to give up their life al Kiddush Hashem? Why Dafka Rabbi Akiva? The answer is very simple. Because no other Tana needed to await whether they would have to give up their life al Kiddush Hashem. Every Jew knew that if ever put to the test, they have it within them to be Moser Nefesh al Kiddush Hashem. But Rabbi Akiva was worried because Rabbi Akiva comes from Gerim. And maybe Avraham Avinu, when he programmed into Klal Yisrael that a Jew could be Moser Nefesh al Kiddush Hashem, maybe it only went to his physical heirs, but not to the spiritual heirs of Rabbi Akiva. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva was awaiting his whole life. Do I have it within me to be Moser Nefesh al Kiddush Hashem? And now that he had the opportunity, he was very happy, he was very proud that he too had that koyach invested in Klal Yisrael from Avraham Avinu. Bereishis is called Sefer HaYetzira, I believe. Not only, like the Ramban says, because it created the history of Klal Yisrael, but Sefer Bereishis creates the spiritual personality of Klal Yisrael. Every madrega that Avraham Avinu acquired is now programmed into our makeup. It didn't just create the happenings to Klal Yisrael. It created our spiritual makeup, our spiritual fabric, our moral fabric. Whatever we read in Bereishis is the history of not what will happen to us, but who we are and what we're made out of. And I believe that's a noob shot in why Sefer Bereishis is called Sefer HaYetzirah. Little trivia question. What is the most important number in Yiddishkeit? One. Okay, that's a good answer, but I'm not looking for that one. What's the numerical value of the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? 26, yeah? So probably, the 26th pasuk in the Chumash ought to be a very important pasuk. Did anybody ever calculate what is the 26th pasuk in the Chumash? This would be, you would think, the pinnacle of creation, the summit of the Bria. And there's a very interesting sefer. The name of the sefer is Ben La'ashri, the Tzaddik of Ranana, written by Rabbi Yitzchak HaKohen Huberman, who actually was a chavrusa of my great-grandfather in Sachachov, and he never had children. So he writes in his Hakdama that anybody who says over his Divrei Torah, he promises he will pray for you and bail you out of any tzara ba'olam hazeh or ba'olam haba. It's worth a shot, no? So he has discovered. So if you're going to say this over, you say it over in the name of the Ben La'ashri, the Tzaddik Ranana. The 26th pasuk in the Chumash is Vayomer Elohim Nase Adam. Exactly. Vayomer Elohim Nasa Adam, the creation of man. That makes sense. That's the pinnacle of creation. That's the summit. That's the greatest manifestation of the Ribbono Shel Olam in this world. Here Hashem created Tzelem Elohim. There's nothing that manifests HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world more than a human being. The 26th Pasuk in the Chumash, Nasa Adam. So let's analyze this Pasuk and Rashi for a moment. There's a big problem with this Pasuk. So let's start with the following question. If you had a choice of two yeshivas to send your kid to, one yeshiva, they have great learning, great lamdos, spitz lamdos, Reb Chaim al Rambam. The other yeshiva is not as strong in lamdos, but they learn better midos. What is more important? Knowing Hashem, believing Hashem, or having midos tayvos? Bottom line. It's a good thing I didn't ask which yeshiva you sent your kid to. Which is more important? Midos or Emunah? Is it more important to believe in God or more important to have Midos Tayvos? The good thing is, it doesn't matter what your opinion is. Let's see what Rashi says. Because Rashi has something to say about this. Rashi is bothered by a question. Rashi, on the first Pasuk, on the Pasuk 26th, Vayomer Elohim, Nase Adam. Rashi is bothered, what do you mean, let us make man? Who's God's talking to? There's no committee. There's no board. He's talking to the board director, the vice president. Who is God speaking to? So Rashi says famously, Ribbono Shel Olam is addressing his heavenly retinue. He's speaking to Malachi Ashores. But what do you mean, they didn't create man? Says Rashi, from here we learn, Anivus and Derech Eretz, that a superior should always ask the advice of the inferior, even if you're not going to listen. And that is what God did, even though there's a danger that people might think there's more than one God. But Hashem addressed it at the end. That's why at the end of the Pasuk it says, Vayivra Elohim. Fine. Says the Beis Halevi, Briskarov. Okay, so you could accept this. Says the Beis Halevi. That means Rashi is telling us, God could have wrote the Pasuk one of two ways. He could have wrote, Ese Adam, I'll make man, and then everybody would have known there's one God, but then we wouldn't have known that God is humble. Or God chose the latter. He wrote, Nase Adam, let us make man, at the expense of perhaps thinking there's more than one God, to teach the lesson in humility. From here, says the Beis Halevi, we learn, Midos Tayvos are more important than Emunah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, Halacha L'maisa, says the Beis Halevi, you have a choice of two yeshivas. One has better learning, and one has better midos. Beis Halevi says we learn from Rashi, midos tovos are more important than deos. Now, there are two other angles of looking at the Rashi that might adjust our understanding of what Rashi is trying to communicate. But at face value, what Rashi seems to be saying is it's more important to teach a lesson in midos than a lesson in deos. I once saw a stipler many years ago, a very challenging word of the stipler, and I heard this in yeshiva also. If you have a teenager, and they have issues with emunah, they have questions in emunah. So, one might think the way to address these questions is they should learn proofs to Hashem's existence, and learn proofs to the authenticity of the Torah, and the stipler said, absolutely not. That's not the problem. Says the stipler, all questions in Amunah come from the Midah of Gaiva. All questions, anytime a person has doubts or questions or thoughts, it is rooted in a Midah of Gaiva. Because as soon as somebody focuses on humility, that their whole life, all their assets, all their resources, all their talents is on loan, short term, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and their existence is not inherent, but is borrowed, immediately a spirit of the Shechina will reside on the person, and all questions fade away. In other words, says the stipler, there's no such thing as questions in Emunah. If a person would be truly humble, then all questions would fade away. All questions in Emunah come from the Midah of Gaiva. Now, having this principle clear, then Rashi does not necessarily mean to be saying that it's worthwhile to teach a lesson in Midos at the expense of thinking there's more than one Ribono Shel. Then Rashi could be saying a much more profound idea. What Rashi may be saying is that the Ribono Shel has two choices. The Ribono Shel could choose to say, I will make man. But you know what the problem then is? If God would say, I will make man, then you might think Hashem is authoritarian. And you might think that Hashem has the midah of gaiva. And then a person might learn gaiva. And if a person learns gaiva, they're going to have heretical thoughts anyway, because all kfira comes from gaiva. So the Ribono Shel Olam felt it's more worthwhile to teach a lesson in humility, because if I teach a lesson in humility, people won't have any questions in Emunah in the first place. So it's not that Midos Toivos is more important than belief in Hashem. But if a person would have the Midah Toiva of Anivos, they wouldn't have questions about the Ribono Shel Olam in the first place. Let's speak for a few minutes about Noach vis-a-vis Abraham. Noach gets a big intro. Noach, he gets up, before he gets up to the podium, it's a great kavod for us to introduce Noach. Noach, by the way, we want everybody to know, Noach was a tzaddik. Noach was matzo chen b'enei Hashem. You know, and everybody is, wow, they're getting ready to stand up for Noach. Not only that, he was tamim. Not only that, esholeikim esalech Noach. Noach got like the biggest intro in the history of any tzaddik. I mean, longer than anybody at the Aguda convention. Noach's intro is like unbelievable. He has the longest resume I've ever seen of any tzaddik. Tzaddik haya, tamim haya, esholeikim esalech Noach. And God liked him, esholeikim esalech Noach. And the next speaker, Avraham, you know what kind of intro he got? Like I got. He just got right up there. It's good. We're friends. I'm just joking. Right? It's good. That's how I like it. It's okay. Avraham gets not one good word. Next week's parasha. Vayomer Hashem el Avraham. Who's this guy? I don't know him from a hole in the wall. You know, at the end of Noach, it listed Haran, Nachar, Terach. We have a list of 20 people, and all of a sudden, out of the 20 people, Vayomer Hashem el Avraham. You want to, and it's not like we have nothing to say about him. We could say, Avraham, he's the guy who jumped into the fire for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's the biggest Baal Chesed in history. He's the greatest Kiruv professional in history. No, and who's greater, Avraham or Noach? Avraham, of course, Avraham's much greater. And Noach gets this whole intro, and Avraham just gets up there. What's going on? We don't know anything about him. Is Avraham a nice guy even? Who is he? Says the Maharal, this question is the single most important question to ask on Sefer Bereishis. Did you ever bother by this question? Avraham comes to the scene and we don't know him from Adam. Who's Avraham? Says the Maharal, there's a big difference between Noach and Avraham. Noach is Noach. And therefore we have to know who he is. He's a tzaddik. He's a tamim. He's esalikim esalach Noach. Avraham was an Avraham. Avraham was the Avinu. He is the patriarch of Klal Yisrael. When God tells Avraham, Vayomer Hashem el Avraham, lech lecha, Hashem is selecting Klal Yisrael. Now here's the problem. If it would say, Vayomer Hashem el Avraham, oh, who is Avraham? The tzaddik, the Baal Chesed, the Makar V'choikim. Then you might think that Hashem loves Avraham and therefore Klal Yisrael, Tluya B'davar, because of X. And what's going to happen in 2021 when we're not Balei Chasodim and we're not Goimlei Chasodim and we're not Mekarev Rechoikim and we're not Maminim? So you would say, God selected Avraham because he's a tzaddik, but now we're not worthy anymore of that selection. And therefore, the Ribbono Shel Olam intentionally omitted from the Torah HaKadosha any mention of any accolade or maila of Avraham Avinu, so that we recognize the principle we started with, that God loves us Bees, because we're banim lamakim. Just because. The Ribbono Shel Olam didn't select Avraham because he's a tzaddik, or he's a baal chesed, or he's a makariv rechokim. God just selected Avraham because we're Yidden and we're the Tselem Elohim that no other nation is. And therefore, if it would have said, Vayomer Elohim El Avraham Hatzadik Abal Chesed, you would think God's love for the Jewish people is dependent. And therefore, it says, Vayomer Hashem El Avraham. Why? Because. No questions asked. God doesn't love us because of, He just loves us. Klal Yisrael. That's how the Torah starts, and that's the intro to Avraham Avinu. Now, Noach did not have a great time in his rabbinic career. So when Noach got up to the pulpit, and he said he darshaned for 120 years, how many people did he win over? Nobody. Not a very effective rabbinic career. He did not convince one person that the Mabul would come. Now, I don't know about you, I was wondering this week, when it started to rain, he said in 120 years, it's gonna flood. Okay, so then exactly 120 years, it started raining. And it rained for 5 days, 6 days, 7 days. And Noach's like, I told you so! And the water is getting higher, and they're walking down to the grocery store in rafts. And Noach's like, you guys out of your mind? What? Why don't you listen to me? Nobody listened to him. And Avraham Avinu was successful in influencing tens of thousands of people. So Avraham Avinu obviously had a better method. What is the difference between the success of Avraham Avinu and the lack thereof of Noach? And the answer is found in an amazing sefer. It's called Drashos El Ami, and also Lemevuche Ha'uma of Rav Avigdor Amiel. It says, if you look in Parshas Noach, what is mankind called? Keitz kol basar. Ki hishchis kol basar. Noach was speaking to them, but he did not give them the insight that a human being is anything more than basar. And if somebody thinks that all they are is a sophisticated shtick of fleisch, that a person is just a basar, then you can't have any influence on them. Avraham Avinu comes to the scene and he revolutionizes one concept. V.S. Hanefesh Asher Asu Becharan. Avraham Avinu taught the world that we are not basar v'dam. We have a neshama. We're tzelem elokim. That was the singular difference between the approach of Noach and Avraham. Ad kedei kach, Avraham Avinu even revolutionized the concept of marriage. Until Avraham Avinu, what's marriage? Adam says to Chava, etzem me'atzamai, u'basar mi'basari. Marriage, just physical. Comes Avraham Avinu and he turns to Sarah and he says, v'choysa nafshi biglalech. The marriage is not the union of the guf, it's the union of the nefesh. That's why in halacha, the choymer of erusin, which is the first step of marriage, which is only the union of the nefesh, is actually more chamor than afterwards, nesuin, which is the union of the guf. Because that's the ikur tafkin, the ikur facet of kedushin. And this was the chiddush of Avraham Avinu. In a world of basar, it's ki hishchis kol basar. In a world of basar, it's keitz kol basar. In the world of nefesh, it's v'yes ha-nefesh asher asu b'charan. So these are a few thoughts on Sefer Bereishis. And of course, it all goes back to the 26th pasuk. If we understand that Nase Adam is beruchnius, then we're able to achieve that which the Torah expects of us, and which is to be the Am Segula Mikol Ha'amim. Thank you so much for listening. Bracha v'hatzlacha.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.